Father, we just want to bring this night to, before you, God, and I pray the blood of Jesus, Lord, over us. God, I pray that the meditation of my heart, Lord God, and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. Lord God, I pray for every person who are here, Lord, that, and we declare that you love all of us, Lord. When we declare that we love you, God, and thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are kind and that your kindness leads us to repentance, Lord. And Father, I pray that as the church, that we will walk in the love, Lord God, in the peace and the joy of who you are, Lord God. That we can rejoice in the fact that we serve the Creator of the universe. But we not only serve you, God, we are your children. And we are not hirelings. We are not orphans. We are children of the God Most High. We are sons and daughters, Lord. We have an inheritance in you. And we celebrate that tonight, God. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price on the cross. That you've given us, Lord God, everything that we need in this life, Lord God, and the eternal life, Jesus. Thank you that we can believe in you, and therefore we can know we are saved. Because of our faith, we know we are saved because you, Lord, loved us, Jesus. And therefore you came down to this earth, Lord, and you paid the price for all of our sins, for all sickness, for all iniquities on the cross. And we thank you tonight for that, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Christo, great. Baie lekker. Dankie. Thank you. May God bless you. Everyone may be not seated yet. I want to share a message, and I hope it's going to be a short message about overcoming. I really believe God has called us to overcome. And the word in the Bible that is used for to overcome is to overcome and to conquer. It's a Greek word, nikao. But I don't think I pronounced it correctly. But I did a search on it and I saw all the scriptures that came from it. And it was amazing to me to see that God wants us to overcome. He wants us to conquer. He wants us to conquer stuff. And I have a sermon that I'm going to bring and I'm going to dedicate it to Quibus. I'm going to call it Facing the Giants. And when we were in Dubai, we were speaking about giants. And yesterday I was spending time in the Word and suddenly the sons of Anak, the descendants of the Nephilim, and then all these guys had to overcome these giants. And God was upset with them because they didn't want to overcome the giants. And it was, I just seeing, as I read the scripture, God wants us to overcome. He wants us to conquer. And there's something that we can conquer in Christ Jesus, that we can overcome all the obstacles that the world plays against us in Christ Jesus. But not we can, we have to. We have to overcome it. And this is the challenging thing for us as Christians, because we want to do the meek thing and say, excuse me, but I believe God has called us to be overcomers in Christ Jesus in everything that we do, all of us. And I want to share with you, maybe I can just start off, when I had this word and a guy came to me and he was in the occult for 30 years, and he in Satanism, and he shared a few things with me, and as he spoke to me, I just knew God was saying to me, focus on my goodness. And the more I spoke to him about the goodness of God, the more I could see that he was like getting drawn to God and to his kingdom. And there's a side in me, I wanted to know about the astral projection and all these things, because, and I asked him, and he said, I've done it all the time, and I could see in his face that he must have done it, because he was haggard because of the things of the occult that he's been involved with, and the sacrifices and the stuff, and he's been serving God, he's been baptized, and now he's getting all these thoughts that is drawing him back into darkness, and he needs prayer, he needs help. And he says, you know, when I'm in church and the music comes, I freak out, I can't take the music. And you know, for us as believers, we come and we like and we sing, but there's so much power in when we bring and we sing before God, that this man can't take it. He can't breathe when we are singing to God. And this is, to me, it was just good to hear. I said to him, it's great to hear. I'm sorry for you. And I sense God's love for this man and that he is a good man. His heart is pure, even though he's been involved with stuff that really drawn him into a really bad place. So that was the one thing that was really an eye-opener to me. But this was after I knew that I had to preach on this, and I had all my scriptures already ready. And then there came another man, and he there's someone that he loves that comes to our church, and he believes this person is falling away, and now I've got to go and stand up and go and change this person's life. And I heard him out, and then I said to him, you know, it's your responsibility. You must pray. We all have been given authority in Christ, and you must do it. And I spoke him through a few things about he must pray and how he must pray, and he must read the Bible. And he said, I read the Bible. But no, I said to him, you must read the Bible. He said, yes, I read Joseph Prince and I read Joel Osteen. I said, that's great, but you must read the Bible. And he said, yes, but I read Joel Osteen, I read Derek Prince. And I said, no, and Joseph Prince. I said, no, you must read the Bible. And I gave him a word that I believed was from the Lord. And he was like, oh, and it was spot on for him. And then he said to me, is there more of that? I said, yes, there's a whole Bible full of it. You must just read it. And he was like, thank you so much. You know, I came here because I wanted an answer for that person, but I know the answer is in me and my relationship with God. This is how I can establish and get my family and stuff back together. It's in me overcoming, in me conquering. The Bible says, Romans 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by being good. So our focus is not on the devil and what the devil is doing and all the terrible things, the witchcrafts and all the things are doing. We focus on being good, on the things of God. This is what is very important, that we focus on the things of God. 1 Timothy 6, we must flee those things. We must pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. We pursue God, that we can become more like God. We are righteous. We are holy because God is holy. We have faith and we walk by faith. We walk in love, steadfastness. We can be dependent on. We are gentle with all people. Fight the good fight of faith. That we walk by faith and not by sight. And that we take hold of eternal life. Life is not about here. It's about here determines how we're going to spend eternity. The decisions that we make here will determine how we are going to spend eternity one day. So when we go through suffering here, we can know this victory eternally as well. And when we surrender here, we can know eternally, and even in this world, we will share in the glory of God. But we have to overcome the things of this world. So when you come to a place like where I've been a few times, say, oh, this thing here lacking me, I don't like this, just come back to God and be encouraged in God and rejoice and praise in His name, because God wants to bless us. God wants to do great things for us, but we many times allow the devil to take us out and we don't want to overcome, so we go and feel sorry for ourselves. But I really believe God called us to overcome. Now, we must understand there is a war. And I just want to share with you what the Bible is saying about this war, that we are not blind to what is happening around us. But Revelation 12 says, verse 7, a war rose in heaven. Michael and his angels were fighting against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer place for any of the dragon and his angels. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. There's this huge war, these huge angels, and if you've watched any movies lately about angels, you probably have seen what it's like. And the very powerful beings, they fought against one another, and I believe God allowed this to happen because God can take it out in a moment like that. It's not how many are against us or how many is for us. We can know if God is for us, because God created all of this. God is so much bigger than that. So we don't have to walk in fear. We have to overcome whatever is out there. But understand that there is a war, and these angels have fought against the angels of God, and they were thrown out of heaven. And then this loud voice came. And I just want to say something about the deceiver of the brethren. The devil wants to deceive all of us. And what he does is that he takes truth and he twists it just a little bit. So it's not the full truth anymore. It becomes a lie. If it's not a lie is something where it's not all of the truth. So the devil wants to deceive us. And you'll see, especially in churches, there will always come like a new doctrine or a new flavor. But there is not such a thing as a new flavor or a new... It's all written in the Bible. All of it is in here. And rather stay safe than wanting to go for all the new things. Because that's where many people fall into deception. That we can know that out of relationship with God, He wants us to grow more like Him. So the more I become like Jesus is, the safer I know that I am of not being deceived. So, and the other thing that I just want to say about that as well, if you are always focusing on yourself and your problems, you're in a dangerous position. We must come and become like Jesus and focus outward to see where Jesus wants to touch people. In that place, our healing will come as well. So when you're always about your own stuff, you are in a dangerous place. And you are very close to being deceived by the enemy. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ Jesus have come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. We have been given authority. We have salvation. There's power in God. We've been given authority. We are kingdom's children. We walk as children of God. We are not hirelings. We are not orphans. We are children of God. And this is what God has called us for. But the accuser accuses us day and night. And I just want to say something to us as believers. Our job is to love one another. It's the devil's job to accuse us one another. And Jacques and I were just talking about it, and I was just speaking about it earlier this morning, where I just said, I don't want to talk anymore, because I feel sometimes, because it feels my heart is rotten, that the words that I speak are rotten. So I just want God to cleanse my heart before I speak anything. And that we as believers can many times accuse one another, and it really hurts one another. And when we are hurt, we hurt other people who are hurt. And in the church, this is what's happening at the moment. Many people are hurt, and then they speak to everybody they can. And that causes more people to get hurt, and we accuse people. Can you believe what Anton has done? I can't believe he's wearing a t-shirt today. And now I'm upset with Anton. I go and speak to Kurt, and Kurt, he never even see he had a t-shirt, and now he's wearing a t-shirt now. He's upset with Anton as well. And this is how we accuse one another, and we actually bring division in the body of Christ. And I really believe this is something that God wants to heal us from. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they conquered him. The devil was conquered. He was overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus on the cross, the word of their testimony, we speaking about the goodness of God, and also being a testimony. Our testimony is how we live and what we speak. It's both. People must look at us and say, sure, that man must be a Christian. He must be a believer. I can see in his faithfulness, in his goodness, and also the words that we speak. We have to do both. We have to be a testimony for God. And for Christ in everything that we do. And they loved not their lives even unto death. And this is the difficult one. We have to die. And this is the most difficult thing to release, to surrender. And Henny shared a thing long ago that I use it a lot, but he was saying this man was hanging from a cliff and he was hanging onto a branch, and he was saying, God sent someone, I'm going to die. God sent someone, I'm going to die. And then this huge angel came and he was flowing below this man. And he said, just let go, I will catch you. And this man looked down at the angel and he said, God, send someone else. And this is what we do. We don't want to surrender that we can be caught by God. We want to hold on to our things like this. And we're trying to drag it with us. And God just said, go, because I will catch you. And we don't want to do that. And this is where we have to deny ourselves. We have to pick up our cross and we have to follow Christ. And it's very difficult. It's impossible. We cannot do it. And therefore we must come to God, because in Christ we can do this thing. Because, you know, like Peter the apostle, when Jesus was being crucified, he ran away. A girl, he sweared at the little girl. I don't know if you saw that in scripture. But then when he was crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me the upside down. A million times worse than what Jesus was crucified. Something happened with him. The Spirit of God was poured out on him in the day of Pentecost. So there is a place that God will not tempt us more than what we can handle. And for him, it was a great honor. It was an honor for him to do it. So don't expect any one of you to be crucified upside down right now. It's not going to happen tonight unless you don't say amen in my sermon. Amen. Then, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them, but woe to you. Woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath, and he knows that his time is short. Woe to us. The devil has come down in great wrath because he knows his time is short. I don't want to say too much about that, but understand there's an urgency in the spiritual atmosphere. I just read a testimony of a man who've been also in the cult for a long time. He was from Ghana. He was a high priest. He was 6'6". His father was 7 foot tall. And when he walked into the church, everyone freaked out. And the pastor was just preaching at him. But the pastor was so afraid of this man because he was very powerful. And he said he spent 7 years under the sea. And with all the satanic stuff that was happening there, without any breath. But this is just for one or two of you that might find that interesting. Revelation 17:14 says, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. The Lamb will overcome them, for He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Our focus, I just want to bring our focus back to Jesus. That's our focus. In the second coming, He's coming on the white horse, the two-edged sword, the blood on His robe. On the white horse, we're going to be with Him, and everything will be overcome because Jesus is who He says He is. But then in Luke 14, there's the story where there's this mute man, he can't speak, and Jesus expels or casts out a demon in this man, and then he speaks. And then the people marvel because Jesus, that he could have done that. And most people was happy, but then there was these people who said, He casted out that demon in the name of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And Beelzebul, I think it's the Lord of the flies. I don't know. I think so. He's the Lord of the flies as well. And then Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. A household divided against itself cannot stand, another scripture says. And you know, this man, when I was talking to him, he said in that place, when he was there, when he knew, when he had his warlocks and his witches with him, and he could get them in unity, he knew there was power. And I thought, oh hallelujah, that's exactly what the devil is, just a copycat of what the truth is. And this is what I really believe for us as the church, that God wants us to come into unity in that place, not within unity with one another, but unity in Christ, unity in the Spirit, that we all follow the promises of what God has called us for, because that is our victory. Because if we are not, the house cannot stand. It will be divided. But the good news is that Jesus says, this is my house and I build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So we can know that God is building His own church. And then Jesus said, if Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? So Beelzebul is not Satan himself. He's a prince or an entity of darkness and Satan. And if he was casting out the agents of Satan, there would be division. That is what Jesus was saying to them. So just in that regard. And then Jesus says, it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So in the finger of God, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon to leave in the name of Jesus. When they go, we know the kingdom of God has come upon us in our lives because of the authority that we stand in for us as believers. Tanya Amanda, she's that big. She's very small. And God's been speaking to her about the finger of God. And she was speaking and hearing God, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? I don't understand. And then she was praying about that. And this one day a man came into their shop and he grabbed someone's handbag and he ran out. And and the Holy Spirit said to her, this is what I've been speaking to you about. And she ran out and she said, by the finger of God, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. And this man ran into a wall, and he fell on his back, and he stood up, and he looked at her, he dropped the handbag, and he continued running away. There's authority in the name of Christ for all of us. And Derek Prince, I've been listening quite a lot to him, but he says every time Jesus sends out his disciples, he gave them authority over sickness and over demons. And go and check that as well. We as believers have that authority over our lives. I believe God has called us to overcome the things that is against us. Now Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are safe. And this is for us, when we are fully armed in the things of God, our goods and our lives are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him, and overcomes him, conquers him. He takes away his armor in which he trusted. So our protection is being taken away and he divides our spoil. So he takes our stuff away. The devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Our stuff gets taken away. And then Jesus says, whoever is with me, who is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Then Jesus says, when a demon has been taken out, an evil spirit or an unclean spirit, it will go out and will seek another place to live. If he doesn't find anything, he will come back. And if he sees there's nothing there, he will go and fetch seven worse ones and come in. And that person will be worse off than what he was previously. So you can come to a service, someone expel a demon from you, and you go home and you go and do bad things again. You keep yourself open. When it comes back, you will be worse off. So there's a responsibility for us as believers to overcome. We must overcome, all of us. I really believe God has called us to overcome. But how do we do this? How do we overcome? What is the armor that we've been given? How can we protect ourselves against these things that I'm talking about? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. It's a relationship in God. We must be strong in God, in the Lord, and in the strength of His might. We know that God is powerful, and we are strong in that. And this is, for me, I really want to encourage you to do outreaches, do missions. When we went to Sri Lanka and there's a lady and she starts manifesting and you can see this lady is really in a bad place and we pray over her and the next moment you can see she's free. You can see the power of God and that builds your faith as well, that when bad things happen to you, you know that God is faithful, that He's powerful, that He's anointed. And we must sometimes put ourselves into a place where we can see the power of God, that God actually wants to work through us as well because of that we have authority in Christ. So God says we must be strength, we must be strong in Him. Put on the whole armor that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We must be able to stand. And just something about fighting for the men, the girls can switch off now. Good guys, people that really fight well, have a strong stance. If you see these big guys with thin legs, they normally don't last long because they get one kick on their legs and they go down. And I was watching, Mike Tyson, when he was 19 years old. Yes, so there was this one guy, he's about that big next to Mike Tyson. The commentator said, just a bigger target for him. And it took him like 2 minutes to take this guy down. But what he did was he stood and then from his legs, everything, he just, and the guy, he fell like this. It was beautiful to see for a man. It's just so great to see. But he fought. He stood. And he wasn't afraid of this man. He stood in front of him. He said, okay. And then he goes and he beats him because he was standing. And we are, as believers, have been called to stand in the Lord. We do not wrestle, for we do not wrestle. Full stop. We do not wrestle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle against, I just want to see this, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up your whole armor. And wrestling is very tiring because it continues. It's like you are on the ground and you're getting choked and you're getting your arm and please, mercy, mercy. Wrestling is different to punching because you sort of get some rest, but not in wrestling. It sometimes happens all the time. So therefore, put on your whole armor that you're able to withstand, because these things, when you start getting relaxed, they come more and more for you. When you are on their target, they will come more and more for you. So therefore, put on all your whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil done, and having done all, to stand firm. That we stand firm. And then it says, stand therefore. So Paul is very serious that we must stand, that we must pull a Mike Tyson on ourselves, that we, having fastened the belt of truth, we stand on the word of God, this is the truth, on righteousness, that we have the same right as the Lord Jesus Christ to stand before God. We are righteous, we have been justified by God. Justification means that we've been declared sinless. God says you are sinless because of what you believe. Isn't that amazing? Even if there is sin, God said you are sinless. So we can know my breastplate protects me. I have the same right to come before God. The shoes to bring the gospel, that we share the good news with people. Faith, we take up the shield of faith. We live by faith and not by sight. We cannot please God if we don't have faith. So there's no plan B, like I said last week. We must really exercise our faith and trust God to grow our faith. So when these darts, flaming darts of the enemy is coming, that we can be protected against it. The helmet of salvation. The battlefield is here. It's in our minds. And we must learn to overcome what is happening here. So when those thoughts come, the thoughts doesn't make who you are. So if you get funny thoughts, you just take the thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And there are strongholds in our minds, and those strongholds are things that we believe. And but he said he wants to talk to me about worldviews. But worldviews is how we approach life. So you might believe that we have been created over millions of years and that we are descendants of apes. That is a stronghold that must be broken down in our lives because God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Or you might believe I'm not worthy. It's a stronghold that the devil puts in you because he wants to put shame in you so that he can take us out. So all of those thoughts we must take captive and we must declare who we are. I'm a son of God. I'm the head and not the tail. That we speak those things over ourselves. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is, I really believe, we must challenge ourselves to have relationship with God in the Word, but also in the Holy Spirit, that we can hear the Spirit of God. Then verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And this is my heart for this year, that we must pray. And in this, when I asked you guys earlier to pray, praying is not this. That's not praying. That's thinking. That's thoughts. Praying is speaking. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you are good. Father, thank you, Lord, that I can bring my family before you. That is praying. It's the words that we speak that has the impact, not the thoughts that we think. You will see God, that it's like God doesn't listen to our thoughts. He hears it, but he doesn't listen to it. He wants us to exercise faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We even read your Bible aloud. But when we pray, be bold. Pray because God wants us to be bold. Don't go to Nomzamo. Go and see what it's like to pray, that we pray together. God wants us to pray all the time. Pray all the time in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So we must pray. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That we pray for everyone. That we pray all the time. That we pray for our country, for our president. That he's in the hospital, I see. That we pray for him. If we might not agree with some of the things that we do, but God instructs us to pray. That we pray for children, that we pray for the schools, that we pray for where we work, that we pray for where we drive, that we pray all the time. And I want to challenge you guys to pray all the time. Because I believe this thing about the giants that I want to bring in the next sermon, God was upset because the Israelites were afraid of the giants. Now these giants weren't like Gerard. They were like more than double Gerard's size. The Bible says they looked like grasshoppers in their sight. And when the Bible says something like that, I believe it actually was how big these creatures were. God wanted them to overcome the enemy. And I believe God wants us to overcome the enemy. Revelation 21 verse 7 says, the one who conquers, the one who overcomes, will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So there's a blessing that God says when we conquer. But as for the cowardly and the faithless, so the cowardly is, and the faithless, I don't believe God likes me. The detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, before you freak out, just hear me out. Don't run out at this stage. But I believe God calls us to overcome or be overcome. And we have to overcome the stuff in our lives that's preventing us from walking into the fullness of God. And for some of us, it could be fear. For some, it could be faithfulness, or it could be lust. It can be addictions. Addictions to cigarettes. Maybe to coffee. Maybe to alcohol. To drugs. Maybe to sex. But I believe God wants us to overcome these addictions, to overcome offenses, unforgiveness, anger, where we miss the mark. That we don't walk and carry sin with us, but that we overcome him because he paid the price on the cross for that. Therefore, I believe God wants us to overcome these things. You know, sometimes you might struggle with an issue and it's not you, but it can be a demon. For example, you can have a spirit of anger in you. And for us men, I think these are some of us that actually have it. You go to this place where you go, and you just, at that moment, you've lost it. And you're just different. And you can't speak. Your heart is doing like this. And you want to kill people around you. Can anyone identify? Or can I just come forward and I can pray, pray for you? But you know how it can happen. You drive home. You're in traffic. People are driving mad. Someone hoot at you. Someone pull in front of you. You get that finger. Which finger is it? One of the fingers that you get. You're upset with this guy. And now you've lost it. And you maybe said something that you shouldn't have said. You come just before you get home. Someone pulls in front of you. And your neighbor screams at you. And then you lose it. Maybe you can just lose it there. But it is possible that you could have opened yourself up for a spirit, for a demon to come into you. And you are different to your wife. And she doesn't understand what has happened with you. But there's something that came in. And you have this, you lose your mind all the time. And she doesn't understand. And it leads to you getting divorced. And all it takes is to come and repent. God, I repent of anger. And in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of anger to leave in Jesus' name. Because we have authority, it must go. And we can have a good and healthy lifestyle again. I really believe God has called us to overcome things in our lives. Things that is preventing us from the fullness of God. How do we overcome? 1 John 2 verse 14 says, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is how we overcome. We overcome by abiding in the Word of God, becoming doers of the Word. Because that is why Jesus paid the price on the cross. We abide, we overcome in Christ, because in our own strength we cannot do it. It's impossible. It's impossible for a person with fear to say, I shouldn't have fear. It's impossible. But only in Christ we can overcome. But we have to take that authority. We have to stand up and say, God, I struggle with fear. And have people pray over you and pray and repent of fear and repent of it until you come to that place where you've overcome fear. Because the Bible says, there's no fear in perfect love. There's no fear in perfect love. So either you have fear or you have love. So you can't have both. The Bible says you either hate your brother and are not a child of God, but you cannot say you love God and hate your brother. It's 1 John 5 and 4 that you can read that, where it says it's either the one or the other. So I really believe God has called us to overcome. And then he says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So God is saying, get out of the world and come into my kingdom. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When you love God, you don't want to be in the world. You just want to come into his kingdom. Isn't that true? Amen. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And we can only know what God's will is if we spend time in reading the Word. And then I want to just take you to 1 John 5, verse 3 to 4. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are burdensome. It's not difficult to do the things of God. If we are in him, it comes naturally, because it's burdensome when we are in that place that God has called us for. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And that is the good news. Because of our faith, because of our believing in God, because of our surrendering to God, we overcome the world. And if there's stuff, we just bring it before God. Say, Lord, there's fear, or there's addictions, or there's lust, and we bring it before God, and we walk that road with God, that we can become more and more changed and transformed in God. And so we overcome the things of this world that is drawing us into darkness. Because I really believe God wants us to overcome. And then I just want to give you one last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Revelation 2 verse 26 is, the one who conquers, the one who overcomes, and keeps my works, this is God's works, until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Now in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus gave a prophecy to seven churches. To all of them, he says, he tells them what's wrong with them. There's not anything wrong with them. He tells them what they are doing good. He tells them prophetically where they're going to go. And then he says, those who overcomes, those who conquers. God has called us to overcome. And in this specific church, he says, those who conquers and keeps my works until the end. And I just want to say to some of you believers, you got saved radically. Yes, Jesus, I'm so excited for you. And then you get married. And then you go, I've done so much when I was a student. I don't care anymore. But the Bible says, those who conquers and endures to the end. It's a race, and we get rewarded at the end. It's not how you guys that run. It's not how fast you start. It's how good you look at the end that matters. Even if it is 3 hours and 15 minutes on a half marathon, it's not how fast you started. It's how good you look at the end. I had a man, he said to me, Theo, it's not how fast you go. It's how good you look going slow. It's how we end. We have to conquer. We have to, at the end, we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say to us, my good and faithful servant. So we must conquer and keep his works until the end. Doesn't help to start fast and then go, shh. We must, and if you are like that, it's because you moved out of God's will for your life. If you are in God's will, these things will come naturally. And maybe you need to spend time or come back to God and pray again. Start spending time in God that God can refill you, because that is His heart for us. So I just want us to pray, and we can, as we just close our eyes, I just want to ask you, where are you? Are there stuff in you that is preventing you from overcoming? Are there giants that you need to face? Are there things that's preventing you from walking into the fullness of God? Maybe you've not given your heart to the Lord yet, and I really want to give you the opportunity, or you want to come back to the Lord and say, God, I've made a mistake, but I want to come back because I see that I have to overcome in Christ Jesus. And maybe you want to overcome. You want to overcome, but you don't have the strength. So we want to give you the opportunity to come forward as we're just going to sing a song unto the Lord. If there's anyone that wants prayer, we want to pray with you. We just want to pray and release God's presence over you. But can I just ask that you stand up that I can pray for us? And even for the worship guys, if you feel you want to respond to the altar call, don't be embarrassed to just leave your instrument or the mic and just come forward. But you know, there's a place that we come before God and say, Lord, the bar is too high. I cannot do this. And God is saying, if you are weary and tired, come to me and I will give you strength. That Jesus doesn't want us to suffer all this persecution and all these things. That I really believe that God has given us all the tools, all the armor to overcome the evil one. And you know, I shared this morning that when there is a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of witchcraft will always follow. And I realized in Somerset West, and I was part of the rebellion, and I was proud of it, and I enjoyed being rebellious. And I'm ashamed about it now, but I see witchcraft in us. And you know, in the church, we have witchcraft too. And what we do is we manipulate and we intimidate one another. And we speak words because I want people to do things that I think is the right thing to do. And you know, maybe you've heard of Jezebel, but we say things to intimidate or to manipulate people to do things that God hasn't spoken to them yet. And we as believers many times pray prayers over people that is not from the Lord, which is actually witchcraft. And maybe there's something that we have to repent of as well before God. That we just say, God, forgive us for using witchcraft in my life to change people. And you'll see men will many times intimidate someone to dominate them. And women will many times manipulate. And manipulation is, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. And this is to have domination over people. And this is not God's heart. God wants us to walk in freedom. Where the freedom of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I just want us to just bring our hearts before God. And if you, do you know how Christians gossip? They will say, have you heard about Brother Anton? And I tell the story and say, can we just pray for him? And it's wrong. We shouldn't do that. We should just pray. We shouldn't talk about what people are doing and not doing and what they should be doing. We should just be praying. So I just want to give you the opportunity to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And just focus on Christ. And I want to ask you, God, Lord, in my life, what is preventing me from overcoming? What is preventing me from overcoming? Is it fear? Is it that fear that I will not make it? That I'm not good enough? That something will happen to my children? That something will not happen to me? Maybe there is depression. Maybe there's addictions. Addictions to alcohol, to pornography, to drugs. You're addiction prone and you can't help yourself. But when no one is looking, you are in places where you shouldn't be. And you do things and you just hope that no one would find you. And then once you've done it, you feel so guilty. And God has not called you to be guilty. He has called you to overcome. Or if there's unforgiveness, and you're always angry with people, and you're criticizing, very critical over people, and you're upset with people all the time. God has not called us to this. He has called us to the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. He has called us to laugh, to be in joy, to have fun in this world, not to be so serious about everything, to love one another. That is what God has called us for. He has called us to overcome. So I just want you to close your eyes, and as maybe some of these things are triggering things in your heart, just bring it before God in anger. For the men, maybe for girls, if there's anger in you and you sometimes lose it completely and you don't know why it is, and I just believe there's someone here that's suffering or that's being rejected tremendously, and there's a lot of shame on you, and you are hurt, and I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to do a healing work in your heart to restore you, to edify you, to build you in the name of Jesus. And if there's anything here that you just feel you want to respond to Jesus, now is the time to come forward. And as I just pray for us, Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord. God, I thank you for the armor of God. I thank you, Lord, that we can stand. And I ask that every person here will, by faith, overcome in the name of Jesus. In our own strength, we cannot do this, Lord, but we come to you, Lord God. And we surrender our lives to you completely, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that this world will be overcome. That the things of this world will be overcome by your blood, the word of our testimony, and because we've surrendered our lives, Lord. Father, I want to pray for every person in this place, God, to really walk in the fullness, in the authority that you have called us for. God, I thank you, Lord, that these are sons and daughters of God. They are children of God. They have an heritage in you, Lord. God, thank you that we have been adopted as your children, that we are not hirelings, that we are not orphans, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you still see feeling any sickness in your body and you need someone to pray with you, I'm going to invite you to come forward now as we just sing a song to the Lord. I just want to ask you, are you born again? You cannot overcome if you're not born by the Spirit of God. Have you surrendered to God? As the Spirit of God came into your life, can you see the changes in your life because God's Spirit has come over you? So I want to ask you, you can't tell me I've been born a Christian. Because if you are born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. If you're born in a Christian home, it doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. To overcome, you must be born again. And that means you have to repent of your sin. You must put your faith in God. You must surrender your life and follow Christ. So if you are not born again, I just want to encourage you to come forward. This is the most difficult thing that you will ever do, but you have to be born again. Even if you get baptized, it means nothing if you've not been born again. When you stand before God and you've not been born again, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God, because the first criteria is you must be born again. This is the most important thing in all of our lives that we all have in common. We were born again. So if you are not born again here, I just want to encourage you to be bold and to come forward, that you can surrender your life to Christ, that the Spirit of God can come upon you. So we just want to give you one last invitation. If you want to respond to the Lord in the name of Jesus.